And I want to say, you guys here at 3CI are doing so much right. Right from the welcome, the hospitality, to the graphics, to the worship, to the desire to reach out into the community, to putting literature out, doing things with excellence for the Lord. And I just want to say, well done. I really have a sense that God is so pleased with what you're doing. And I really believe that if we continue to focus on quality rather than on quantity, because sometimes people will go for the quantity and disregard the quality. And the problem is then you can't keep the quantity. But if we raise the bar and we raise the standard, then God can entrust us with people. And I really believe that God is going to and can and will entrust you guys with just a real harvest in the year ahead. I believe 2013 is going to be a year of harvest for you guys as a local church. I really believe that. And the best is really yet to come. Jill, why don't you come on up? You come up and just share something from your heart, and then we'll get into God's word together. But what an awesome service today of worship, contributions, and just life that we've been able to experience today, you know?
Thanks. Good morning. Just in the worship, I just felt two scriptures quicken to me. And surprise, surprise, the one was John 6 about the loaves and the fishes. But, you know, towards the end of that little story, the Bible says that the disciples went and gathered up the leftovers so as not to waste anything. And then it says they gathered 12 baskets full. Are you kidding me? 12 baskets full left over after they fed 5,000 plus people. And the thing that struck me about that story is that God is so extravagant. You know, the Bible says that God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask, think, or imagine. And the other thing was in Hebrews 6, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because those who come to him must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I think in it, I want to encourage you that, you know, we sang a song that we're under open heavens. And I believe that that's where you are right now. That's the place you're at right now. And that God can do super abundantly above, exceedingly abundantly above. And that when we come to him, let's have that in our hearts. Don't come to God with, God, maybe could you please. But no, God is extravagant. Come to him with that. And I can see that you believe that, because the way you're doing, I just sense such a generosity and wanting to do things right. And so just to encourage you that you're starting right, but don't forget to come to God. He's a huge, big God. And he can do more than you can ask, think, or imagine. And start getting that into your thinking and psyche and your praying and your speaking, and start living and breathing it. And I think that you're going to see even the 12 basketfuls left over.
Amen. Absolutely. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says we need to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And really, I've been taking photographs with my iPad of all sorts of stuff. I've taken photographs of around the building, taken photographs of the slides, a little bit of the worship. And that's because I want to go back to St. Neots and show people there to stir them up. Say, we've got to raise our game here, guys. We've got to get it together here, because we have been inspired. We really have. And I think, like it says in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. Yeah. I really believe that that's a relationship that we as a church will have with you guys as a church. And I look forward to awesome things. I really do. Why don't we get out our Bibles and let's have a look at God's word together. Today we're going to focus on two verses. And the first one is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So why don't you find Acts 1 verse 8? It'd be great if we could put that up. Thank you so much. Hey, isn't that awesome? That's something we got to get together here, is putting the verses up there. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And this morning, I'd like to share with you a message I've entitled, Being a Witness. Being a Witness. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, four things about this verse. First of all, I want you to notice the word you is used three times. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. First of all, you will receive power. How? How will we receive power? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. God wants to use you. He wants to use you in power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Why? So that you will be my witnesses. Three times. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you so that you can be my witnesses. The second word I'd like us to look at is the word power. And that word power is the Greek word dunamis, where we get two of our English words from. It's the root of our English word dynamite. Now, dynamite has explosive power. Small package, explosive power. And the second word is the word dynamo. And have you ever used a dynamo on a bicycle? You flip it onto your tire and it just goes around and it starts to produce some power with the light. It produces power. And the Holy Spirit will empower us. You shall receive dynamite, life-changing, energizing power. How? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. Why? So that you can feel good. So that you can get goosebumps and you can enjoy. Now, that's just a side benefit. I think it's great to have the presence of God and you sense God's presence, that heaviness, that kind of treacle sort of feel in the room where you feel like, hey, God's here. This is awesome. And you sense His love and His energy and His presence. It's wonderful. It really is. But God's purpose, God's presence always has a purpose. There's always a because. The Holy Spirit will come upon you because He has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, when Isaiah encounters the presence of God in Isaiah chapter 6, and he sees the Lord fills the temple and the cherubim and seraphim and all the stuff's going down, and he encounters this, and then he hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" God's heart is for us to go out. He wants us to experience His presence, but His presence is linked to us going and serving Him. Go into all the world, go, and lo, I will be with you always. And I think if we want to experience God's presence, then we need to get involved in what God is involved in, God's heart. And God's heart is for us to go out and reach people for Him. Then I want you to notice another word. It's a very small word, but it has significance in this verse. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And then I want you to notice, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Then it says, then in all Judea, then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Is that correct?
No.
No. It says, and. Now, the interesting thing about this word and is it's in the continual present tense. Now, in Greek, they have that tense in the verb, continual present tense. And so often people think of it this way. We have to reach our Jerusalem, our home base, before we start reaching out to Judea and Samaria. Okay? And then, only when we've reached out to Judea and then Samaria, then we can go to the ends of the earth. Now, it's interesting that the furthest place from Jerusalem, as the crow flies, is a place called Christchurch. Isn't that amazing? Go figure. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, eh? That's the ends of the earth. When Jesus said Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, He was talking about Christchurch, and He wants us as the body of Christ to be involved in going to the ends of the earth. This is a bit far from Jerusalem too. This would be considered the ends of the earth. But you know, our Jerusalem is our immediate place or sphere. And I think we need to understand that God is not wanting us to first just reach what we're reaching now. And then when we've reached the whole of Edinburgh, let's start trying to reach the nations. No, He wants us to be involved in a continual present tense, both here, there, and everywhere. It's not either or. It's not, well, we either get involved in going to the nations or we make a difference in our community. It's both and. Let's get involved right here where we are, but let's also realize God wants us to have a witness for Him and be empowered by Him to be a witness in our neighborhood and in our nations. And then the final word I want you to notice in this verse is the word witness. You will be my witnesses. Now, a witness is someone who gives evidence based on what they have seen, heard, or experienced. Someone who gives evidence based on what they have seen, heard, or experienced. In Acts chapter 4, verse 20, the apostles, when they're being put under pressure by the religious leaders of the day to not talk out in the name of Jesus, they say, "Is it right for us to obey man or God?" And then they say this in verse 20 of Acts chapter 4. They say, "We cannot help but speak of what we have seen and heard." In Acts chapter 5, it says, "With great power and authority, they gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ." Because they had witnessed something. They had seen something. They had experienced something. They had heard something. And clearly what God is looking for us to do is to be a witness of our experience with Jesus to the world around us. You know, each one of us have got an amazing story, a testimony of how Jesus has changed and impacted our lives. I was talking to somebody yesterday who said if an atheist came to him and tried to convince him there was no God, he could not convince him because he has experienced God. He's heard the voice of God. He's experienced the grace of God. He's experienced God's presence in the valley of the shadow of death and on the mountaintop. You know, we have experienced God. We know that He is real. You cannot convince me that God is not real. You cannot. I have witnessed Him, and all that God is calling me to do is to be a witness. Now, a witness in a court of law stands up and shares what they have seen, heard, and experienced. Now, when we first came to the UK, I worked at an insurance company, and I handled motor car accidents, non-fault accidents. And if you could get a witness, you knew that you would win the case. Because a witness would give a statement of what they had seen, heard, or experienced. Now just think about it. Each one of us have a story of how we have encountered God. Our life story. And it's a powerful story. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." Yeah. We have something to share, each one of us. Now imagine if Tyler went down onto MacDonald Road, and at the intersection of MacDonald Road and Leith Road, yeah, he saw a little red car come round the corner and knock someone off a bicycle. No one really got hurt. The bike got bent. But the guy wanted a new bike, so he said, "Let's get the police here." And the police say, "Has anybody witnessed this accident?" And Tyler comes forward. He says, "Well, I saw something happen." They said, "Well, could you please be a witness for us?" And Tyler says, no, you don't need me to be a witness for you. You need my brother, Jordan, to be a witness for you. Because he saw an accident where a petrol tanker came through and a bus came through and there was this explosion and it was like fire and limbs and poof, pish. It was amazing, unbelievable. You need him to be your witness. Now hold on a second. Where is your brother? Did he see this accident? No, he didn't. And you know, that's what we like sometimes. We say, "Lord, if I had a story like Steph McLeod or somebody else." Is that how you pronounce his name? McLeod. McLeod. I thought I was getting it right this time. Anyway, you know, that dude, if I had a story like him, then I would go around telling people my story. But you know what? A lot of people are impressed by those stories. And I think it's a fantastic story and impacted by those stories. But sometimes people will listen to a story like that and then they will say, "Well, I was never as bad as that. I never hit rock bottom like that." Because they can't relate to it. But you know, when people realize that we are just like them, ordinary people who serve an extraordinary God, ordinary people serving an extraordinary God. We're just normal people who've been touched by an incredibly supernatural God. And He's given us peace. He's given us joy. He's given us purpose. He's given us a reason for living. Your story is incredibly powerful. Especially when empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage us to share our story our way, to be a witness for Jesus. That is why the local church is so powerful, because it's ordinary people living in an environment, serving, helping, loving, working, taking kids to school, going through everyday issues, but we're not alone. We have a Savior. We have a Lord. We have a friend, Jesus, who promised He'd never leave us or forsake us. Awesome. Let's have a look at the next verse and spend a bit of time on this one. And it's Romans chapter 15, verse 19. And we're going to look at it in the Living Bible. Now, this was the original Living Bible, okay? A guy translated, or he paraphrased, the King James Version into modern English. And I just love the way that this verse is put. Romans 15, verse 19. And I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to kind of break it down again. Romans 15, verse 19, he says, I have won them by my message, and by the good way I have lived before them, and by the miracles done through me as signs from God, all by the Holy Spirit's power. In this way, I have preached the full gospel of Christ. Now, you and I are called to preach the full gospel of Christ, all by the Holy Spirit's power. And there are three things that we need to be involved in if we are going to preach the full gospel of Christ. It's like the three legs on a milk stool. If you take one of those legs away, it's going to fall over. And I think that if we are going to be people who are going to preach and communicate the full gospel of Christ, we need to be involved in three different things. We need to preach the gospel with words, by actions, and in power. And that is the full gospel. We don't just have a gospel of words and no power. We don't just have a gospel of words and power without a changed lifestyle. We need all three. And all three make us a well-balanced Christian, and we can begin to influence people around us. So let's talk about these three. First of all, we need to preach by our message. I have won them by my message. You know, we have a message. We have an amazing message. What happened in Mark chapter 16, verse 15? Why don't we turn across there? Mark 16, and we're going to read verse 15 and then verse 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, and he said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Now we might say, how can we go into all the world? Well, perhaps we, in the time that we have available to us and with the resources we have available to us, cannot go into all the world. But in actual fact, through our partnership with NCMI and with other friends that we are connected with, we can influence the whole world. I believe that we can have an inheritance here in Edinburgh and Scotland because of our relationship with you guys. We can pray for you. We can support you guys. We can encourage you. And you guys can have an inheritance in St. Neots. First of all, you've got to find out where it actually is. But you can have an inheritance there too. You can be a part of what's happening in England. Absolutely. We can be a part of something much greater than ourselves. We really can. If we need to, and we need to understand, it's not like we have to reach where we are first. We can make a difference in all the world, the whole world, for Jesus. I was reading Tyron Daniel's Twitter this week, and he tweeted, is that the right phrase? He tweeted a quote by John Wesley, who said, "The world, if the world is not your parish, your parish will become your world." You know, the problem is, sometimes we're living in a lot smaller world than God intended us to live. And God wants us to live in a spacious place with great opportunities.
That's right.
Our lines have fallen in pleasant places. We went around Edinburgh yesterday. It's a pleasant place. Got a nice fudge shop. Yeah? Good coffee. right here at the Wee Scone. You know, you are in a pleasant place, in a wide open space. I think it's wonderful that you're in a place that you've got empty seats and that you're putting out the empty seats, which means if someone comes in, they are welcome. How many of us like to go to a movie and you get in a movie and then all of a sudden, in a family of four, the aisles has come. Malcolm and Lynn and the two Miss Isles come, and then they've got to find seats, but there's only four seats, so one has to sit there, two sit there, and one sits over there. No. This communicates there's room for you. Absolutely. You know, there's room for you. There's space for you. That you're welcome. And I think that's important. We've got to start to think globally and act locally. Huh? That's what the whole environmental thing, isn't it? You know, think globally. Act locally. You know, we need to start thinking the kingdom of God and act local church. Make a difference right where he's placed us. Let's get on to verse 20. It says, and they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Okay? Go and preach and the Lord will work with you. He confirms his word, the message. With accompanying signs. You know, we've got an amazing message. We really do. We have the best message out there. We really do. An incredible message. Let's just do it and go and share the good news. Now let's have a look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 through to verse 15. And we're going to have a look at how important it is for us to go and preach the message. Okay? Romans 15 and verse 13 through to verse 15. Romans 10. Did I say that? Okay. Let's get back to the notes here. Romans 10, verse 13 to verse 15. You got it. Verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him they have not heard about? And how will they hear without someone preaching? And how will they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. What we learn from this verse is, unless people hear the gospel, they will not be able to believe. They will not hear the call to salvation. And if they don't respond to the call to salvation, they will not be saved. Huh? People need to hear the gospel. You and I are God's plan. Now, I heard a story about a guy who was it was in Canada. And during a time of worship, he felt the Lord show him a picture, a strong impression. He saw like a vision. And in his vision, he saw Jesus on the Mount of Olives ascending to heaven. And then he saw the first angels coming down and to meet Jesus. And as the angels came to Jesus, they said, have you accomplished what the Father sent you to accomplish? He said, yes, paid in full. I've paid the price for man's sin. And the angel said, wonderful. Can we now go and tell men the good news? And Jesus said, no. I've commissioned my disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the angel said, what if they get distracted? What if they just get too busy? What if they get rejected and get upset? What if they decide to just go fishing? And then the angel said to Jesus, what if they don't go? What if they don't do it? And then Jesus replied to the angels, I have no other plan. Now, there are stories of when God has sent an angel into a prison cell in Iran or Iraq and places like that, and people who have encountered Jesus. But let me tell you, those are the exception and not the rule. The rule is that God uses ordinary people like you and I as witnesses for him, going out and preaching the word everywhere. That's it. You are God's plan for Edinburgh. You are the ones that God wants to use. And he has sent you to go and share the good news, the message. And you know, the message we have is good news. We are not out there to convict people of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That's the Holy Spirit's job. You know what we do? We share the gospel. We share the good news. The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And I think we've got to be careful. I tell our guys, you know, we do money courses, parenting courses, and things like that. And, you know, you can teach people time management and get them to be more efficient sinners and cram more sin into their lives. You can teach them good budgeting skills, and they now have more money available to spend on their selfish endeavors. Huh? But they're still going to hell. The heart is the gospel. And we need to share the good news with people. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. It's an awesome privilege, really, as we go and do that. So we need to go, and with our words, we need to be witnesses. The second is with our actions. With our actions. With our actions. In Romans 15, verse 19, it says, by the good way I have lived before them. Now, I know that there's some dispute whether St. Francis of Assisi actually said this, but it's a good quote anyway. Preach the gospel at all times, and when needed, use words. And I think the gospel involves words. As I said, it's not if we just live and we don't preach, people will come and say, you know, that's such a good person. But the reason we've changed is because of Jesus. And we need to be able to share the gospel, okay? But our lives need to back up our words. We must walk the talk. We must preach what we practice. Our actions are louder than our words. Okay? A couple of verses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus said, men will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. Huh? You know, I wake up every morning. It doesn't happen every single morning. It's happened once or twice that I've woken up and I haven't done this. But I normally wake up and I say, hello, gorgeous, to my wife. And then secondly, I say, it's going to be a good day. There have been one or two days when I've said, tomorrow is going to be a good day. Because I've thought, let's just kind of chill today. You know? But, you know, we need to have an expectation for good things. Divine appointments. Today, God has good works prepared in advance for you to do. Isn't that awesome? Now, it's interesting. It says you're God's handiwork, God's workmanship. It means you are a unique individual that God has created for a unique plan and purpose. Huh? I think it's fantastic. Like this weekend, I've watched Lorna. Lorna is just... This is not going to embarrass you. Lorna said, you know, as a pastor's child, you realize how embarrassed you can get from the pulpit. But really, just the joy, what's that, gyrum, is that? Huh? Gyro. The joy gyro in you is amazing. There's just lots of laughter, lots of joy, just like a regular Tigger, you know. And you know, there's some people, you know, I reckon you can, there's all these management things out there, and you can split everybody into the Winnie the Pooh characters. You honestly can. You have some people who like Winnie the Pooh, they don't really know what's going on, but it's all about honey, 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 you know, and just get on with life. Then there's others who are like Tigger, and they're just bouncing full of joy. And then there's some people who like Eeyore, and it's kind of like everything's down. You know, the bottom line is there's joy, and God has made you unique, absolutely unique, you know, and he's made you unique for a unique purpose and plan. And we need to realize every day God has planned something in advance for us to do. For every single one of us, God has plans and purposes today. And we need to wake up and we need to be expectant that today God's got appointments for me today. What is that appointment? I heard a story yesterday. It was actually Thursday I heard the story, and I've heard it again yesterday, of Sean with a guy in the who jumped in your van. Tell us that story. Come up and just tell the story. Why not? I mean, it's a good story. It bears repeating. If you haven't heard it, it's just, and this wasn't confrontational. It was just seeing an opportunity. It was a divine appointment, and go for it.
Yeah, the guy asked him to help me load up some bricks and mortar and whatever. So he jumped in my van, but it was really chilly in the morning, and he jumps in the van and he goes, "Jesus." So I looked to my left, I said, "What did you just say?" And I give him this big smile, and it's like, "Jesus." I'm like, "So do you know Jesus?" So he says to me, "No." I said, "That's strange, because I didn't hear you say Allah or Queen Elizabeth, because do you know them?" "No, I don't." I said, "So why did you say Jesus?" He said, "I didn't know." And right there, I could just explain to him what was happening there. I just shared the gospel with him for the second time in that week. And
excellent.
Hopefully he'll come back tomorrow. So
excellent. For that. And you know, every time that guy hears the name Jesus, he's going to think about that conversation. Yeah, right. He really is. And anybody hears Allah and Queen Elizabeth. So he's had it. This guy's days are numbered, you know. But every day God has appointments, divine appointments. And God wants to use us as ordinary people in extraordinary ways. Every day he has appointments for us. And we need to realize, God, what have you got in store for me today? Life becomes an adventure. And you need to understand that you are an ambassador for Christ. Your home is an embassy for the kingdom. You are an ambassador for Christ. You go out wherever you work, whatever you do, God has sent you there as his personal representative. And we look for opportunities to share the message, okay, and to live the life. And being an example does not mean you cannot make mistakes. I've made at least one mistake in my life, okay, that I can remember, you know. Huh? I can't even quite remember what it was. But it was so small and insignificant. No, but I make mistakes regularly. And I say to people who come to our church, I say, if you're looking for a perfect church, this is not it, because I'm not perfect. And if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll mess it up. Huh? Absolutely. You know, ordinary people. And that's what people need to see. They need to see people who live the life. And if you blow it, if you are with that guy and the next thing you get upset with something, or you hammer your finger and you say, whatever, and you know. If you just take responsibility for your actions, that speaks louder than words. It really does. It really does. Okay? What about reaching unsaved family? Let me throw a little bit in about this. You know, my mom got saved after I did. I was the first member in our family to get saved. And then what she started to do was she started to buy my dad a Bible every Christmas, every birthday, every Father's Day, any time. She bought him a Bible. And my dad had a pile of Bibles in the cupboard, unused. I mean, he had more Bibles than a Christian bookshop, you know. I mean, it was just like Bibles everywhere. And then my mom started to work on the smoking and all the other things, and convict him of his sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And it didn't make a difference. It really didn't. It didn't make a difference. In fact, it began to develop you get inoculated to disease. And that's the problem, is sometimes people have heard the gospel and they haven't seen it demonstrated, and they start to get inoculated to the gospel. They start to develop a resistance, you know. Yesterday I heard about at work, Mary Lee was, a news report came on, and it was about a woman with a cross at work. Now, what, you know, her freedom to wear the cross, and I think we should have a freedom to wear a cross to work and all that sort of stuff. Absolutely, no problem. I have no problem with that. But there was the way the report was put. All of a sudden you realized that some people have had a bad experience with someone coming and not demonstrating and living the life. And I think that we need to realize that reaching people who are closest to us and we are with all the time, or family members, we need a clear strategy. And this is what I believe the strategy is. I think reaching unsafe family, they are won by our lives. What we need to do is we need to make a stand for Jesus, and then we need to live the life. Let me show it to you in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. It says this: "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. And you know, the same principle applies. Husbands reaching unsaved wives. Or children reaching unsaved parents. Now, how many of us have got family members that don't know Jesus? Yeah? You know what we do? Make a stand. And do it in the right way, at the right time, in a respectful way. You know? And make sure you're standing for Jesus and not for something else. You know? It's not about don't have Christmas trees. I mean, that, you know what I'm saying? Or you know, again, I love my mom, but my mom at one point, the Christmas tree was the big thing. Don't have Christmas decorations. It's ungodly. Jesus wasn't born at Christmas and all this stuff. And the whole family's saying, has she lost it? What's going on here? And I've had to fight to be able to bring Jesus front and center to the middle, you know? It's about Israel and it's about what's happening in you know, it becomes other things. Are you with me? Now, those are all important things. There's some things that are important, but if they become center and not Jesus, it's about Jesus. And we point people to Jesus. And so make the stand, share the gospel as clearly as you can, realizing we can never share this glorious story in all its glory. Do your best. And then you know what we do? We just leave it and we begin to live the life. And they'll watch you. And it's amazing. I have found that when trouble comes, they'll pick up the phone and they'll say, please, can you pray for us? Huh? All of a sudden, you've got opportunities. And those opportunities come to share the gospel. Okay. Finally, I have won them by my words, my message, by the good way I've lived before them. And then it ends, by the miracles done through me as signs from God. You know, we don't just preach a gospel of words and of lifestyle. We preach a message that's backed up by the power of God. We really do. Hey? Miracles done through me as signs from God. You know, God wants to use you in the miraculous. A miracle is this. It's an intervention by God in the ordinary course of nature. Simple. That's what a miracle is. When God intervenes in the ordinary course of nature. And he breaks into situations and brings change. The ordinary course of nature. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and my speech and message were not with plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, our daughter Jessica was in Cardiff witnessing. A bunch of young people came, you know, in the middle of the high street. And they wanted to pray for them, healing on the streets type environment. They wanted to pray for them. And this young guy had something wrong with his hand. And he said, "Nah, can God, you think Jesus can heal my hand?" They said, "Yes, we believe he can." They prayed for this guy. And the physical condition of his hand changed. A miracle took place. God intervened in the ordinary course of nature. That young guy then and all his friends say, "We want this Jesus." You know? And that's exactly it. And you know, unless we start going out and praying for people, and I know that you guys believe this and live it, unless we start praying for people and expecting to see things happen, they won't happen.
That's good.
Huh? Yeah. They asked Oral Roberts, who was a healing evangelist in the 1950s. They said, if you prayed for someone and they dropped down dead, what would you do for healing? And they dropped down dead. He would say, next. Pray for the next one. Because he realized it had nothing to do with him. And you know, I can't do any miracles. But we serve a God who can. Eh? Who intervenes in the ordinary course of nature. And he brings change. Now, it's not just about healing. An intervention in the ordinary course of nature. We would love to see our parents. We'd love our parents to see our little baby. And wouldn't it be awesome to have a holiday? Boom, God provides. That's just not normal. But that's our God. That's a miracle. And I think sometimes things happen in our lives and we need to recognize the miracles that God, that are happening in our lives. Those miracles taking place in our lives. You know, the next time someone at work says to you, oh, this is happening, that's happening, don't just say, oh, shame. You know, that's a Zimbabwean thing. Is that what South Africans do also? Yeah. Oh, shame. Did anyone ever see Skippy the bush kangaroo? Yeah. You know what he said when he heard his friend got run over by one of those land trains? Yeah. Huh? You know, the bottom line is, sorry, that's a bad joke. Huh? That's a bad joke. Yeah. You know, bottom line is, we need to just bring situations to Jesus. Now, just a couple of quick examples, you know. Our message does not have to be confrontive. Our message is just telling people the good news. Yeah. We have got good news to share. And you know what? There are opportunities to be able to share the good news. God opens those opportunities. And we need to pray, God, give us opportunities. Open those opportunities to share the good news. And pray for people by name. On Thursday night, we prayed for people by name. The person that Lynn prayed for by name came to the coffee shop on Friday. Isn't that awesome? Awesome, you know. There's a bridge. The next time you see her, she's going to say, oh, something about this amazing building. And you know, there's more of a bridge. You build a bridge with people. And the opportunity will come to be able to share the gospel. Are you ready to share the gospel? You know, are you ready? Huh? Amazing. You know, that's a little prayer book. Try praying. That's another just good little tool that you can give away. Use it and then lose it, you know, and just give it away. You know, there's all sorts of ways that we can share the gospel. Leave something on the train. You know, go and leave a Why Jesus booklet in the toilets at work. Yeah, why not? Hey, literature. There's all sorts of things we can do to go and share the gospel. The way we live, our next door neighbor. We you know, got to a point where their grass was growing and growing too much. So we went out and the boys and I decided we were going to cut her grass too. Single mom, so we cut her grass. Also cut our grass and cut her grass. Then instead of the bin being left out all the time, we'd take their bin and put it away. And I remember standing up one week in church and I said, you know, we're looking for ways to serve. And we can serve right where we are. And we prayed. The next week, I looked up and she came to church. Now, we never invited her. I don't know who invited her. But, you know, when God's got someone's number. In fact, it was a guy in the church who went. She was a hairdresser, got his hair cut, and he invited her to church. Amazing, eh? And so when God's got someone's number, God gets their number. You know what I'm saying? And now he starts working on that. Someone was praying. We were praying for her. And we seek those opportunities, you know. And then finally, how God heals and how that impacts people. We had some people come to church recently. This is in the last, it was about a year ago now. They came to church. They sat at the back. And I went and said hello to them, a mother and a daughter. And the first thing they said to me is, we hate God. And I thought, you must be idiots. I mean, honestly, first of all, how can you hate God? And secondly, what are you wasting Sunday morning for sitting in church if you hate God? So I said, oh, that's interesting. So we carried on. At the end of the service, they responded to Jesus. Their lives changed. They came to the church's together time. And this girl, her name's Gina. She had a condition in her neck with like these pussy sort of things in her neck. And like it wasn't cancer as such, but it was this really serious condition. She got prayed for. And then they started on the one side of her neck at first, started to disappear. She could swallow for the first time in months, you know. And then they started to disappear like bubble, you know, that bubble wrap stuff popping, you know. And it became clear on the other side. Her mom has got a letter from a doctor that starts off with the word, interestingly. Huh? Yeah? Interestingly, This has changed. She was under Great Ormond Street in London care, and under four doctors, they can't understand it. They have no answer for it. You know what happened? The dad got saved. The sister got saved. A young guy who they're fostering now, his name's Dan, came to church last week and got saved. Isn't that awesome? It's just awesome. And when God intervenes, He changes people. And you know, the greatest miracle is a changed life. I've heard testimonies today of people who've encountered, or this weekend, of people who've encountered Jesus. Sean talked about how he got saved. And then amazing things happened. And then his father, his mother, his brother, his cousin, all got saved. Amazing. A miracle of a changed life. And we serve a God who performs miracles today. He wants to perform miracles today. Is there somebody here and you've had a burning in your right eye, a top section of your eye, and I don't know whether it's like a sty or some kind of a infection in your eye, but your right eye. Is there someone like that here? I could be completely wrong, and there's nothing wrong with getting it wrong, you know? Step out. Is anyone like that? Have you been having a burning in your right eye? Nobody. That's just be me. Sometimes it's all about you. Okay. God performs miracles. He really does. And I think let's just wait on the Lord for a moment, you know? Let's wait on the Lord for a moment and just see if He wants to touch people in some way today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that You are a good God. A good God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we wait on You now. We thank You, Lord, that You want to show us Your power. Signs done through us as miracles from God. Thank You, Lord. Just as we're talking about family, I think there's somebody here today who is being concerned about a family member. And they could be near or they could be far. But I really believe today two things. First of all, you've been carrying a burden of guilt. And I want to tell you today that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you've been carrying a burden of guilt, if only I had not said that, done this, acted this way, or this had not happened, perhaps this would have happened. And I want to tell you today that, you know, people make their own choices. And if that person is not where they should be with God, it's not your fault. And today I really want to encourage you to just release that to God and say, Lord, I trust You. Thank You, Lord, that it's not my fault. And I really feel if you take your hands off of this and you release it to God, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, to do what only He can do. And He's not limited. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He's aware of everything. And He's able to begin to whisper into people's hearts, to begin to awaken a desire. And it says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And there's a promise there that things they've been exposed to as a child, God will bring them back to where they need to be. There's somebody else, and you're worried about a parent, and I really feel it's somebody far away. And you're concerned about something. There's something that's concerning you. Today, let's hand that over to Jesus and ask Him to intervene in the ordinary course of nature. Is there anybody that those things relate to today? Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You're able to do, as Jill said, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, think, or imagine. Yes. And right now, we picture that person by faith in the place they should be with You. And we ask You, Lord, as we take our hands off and we place them with you. We trust you. We cast our care on you. We pray and don't worry. We thank you, Lord, that you can bring change. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just make ourselves available, just right where we are. Just if you just put out your hands. Lord, I thank you for each person here, and thank you for this church. For, as Jill said, the generous heart, the open heart. We thank you that we are ambassadors for Christ, and that you have called us to go out into the world around us, and through our words, our actions, and our prayer, to see lives change for you. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that the best is yet to come. And that this hasn't just been a series of messages about being incarnational as Christians. It's the lifestyle. It's the way you have called us to live from here on out, to be Christians and to share the message and to make room for you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you so much. Sean, thanks a lot.